Can we just reserve questions for the end and lump them together?
Yeah, the point that I was just going to make is this. I'm not trying to at all change the responsibility. I think the responsibility, you know, where it's identified singularly for the business manager, that should be the responsibility so that we don't have, you know, that kind of confusion set up. But insofar as just having an, you know, a second set of keys for access, that's you know, something else. Now, maybe you may have a procedure that would have to be undertaken in regard to, you know, maybe having a table inside the door, you know, if whenever somebody other than the business manager, e.g. the general manager, comes in to the this particular cabinet, that he just makes a note of the date and you know, signs it. So that, you know, there won't be any confusion in regard to responsibility for the documents. You can't report to two bosses, and the same thing holds for financial records. One person has to have primary responsibility.
Campbell,
let me. Yeah.
I don't want you to beat a dead horse to death.
Okay.
Are you talking about literally keys? Literally
yeah,
keys
yeah,
to the offices?
Yeah. Right. I'm just talking about an operational thing.
But hold on a second. That's what we're just talking about, the retention periods.
Okay.
So we're not talking about keys, you know.
Right. I'm just
right. Those
figuring how you get it done.
Right. We really need to micromanage those things.
Okay.
So once you have keys or whatever, I would sincerely hope that the general manager would have keys to the finance office.
Okay.
I think that should be understood.
This is Lisa. I think you know, something that Jane said would kind of take care of the concerns of Campbell about, you know, the general manager, whatever, having, you know, this access to these records, providing that they don't, you know, violate any kind of, you know, policies or something that the auditor thinks we should not do. But I think a general statement would kind of cover that.
Okay.
So, Campbell, do we still need to check with Tony Pohl, since you were talking literally about keys? We're talking about retention. We're not talking about security.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't need to talk to Tony Pohl.
Okay. All right. So is there anything else on this particular category? Okay. Let's move on to tax records. Lisa, you haven't read, have you?
Nope. Nay,
okay,
I have not. Okay,
go
tax
ahead.
Records. Annual tax filing for the organization, IRS Form 990 in the USA. The records are stored permanently. The level is national and by the executive director and CFO. Payroll registers, permanent records, national and local, CFO and business manager. Filings of fees paid to professionals, that like IRS Form 1099 in the USA, 7 years on the national level and by the CFO, it should be stored. Payroll tax withholdings, 7 years, national and local, and the CFO and business manager. Earnings record, 7 years, national and local, CFO and business manager. Payroll tax returns, 7 years, national and local, CFO and business manager. W-2 statements, 7 years, national and local, CFO and business manager.
Okay. I hear somebody's dogging. could someone please meet with that lovely dog?
The German Shepherd. Shepherd.
I guess... That's Melinda's doggy. Okay.
My dog's not barking.
Oh,
he's
German
very
Shepherd.
Well behaved.
Who's that, Chandra?
Yeah.
Okay. So after Lisa, then you'll read for you and your doggy, okay? Lisa, you do personnel records.
Are you wanting to do personnel records?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there's any local tax records, those need to be maintained too.
I
would assume.
such
like
as
KPFT,
property tax?
KPFT, up until this year, we've had to be paying local property taxes. We finally got an exemption.
Okay. So you would like,
because they had to change state law to get it.
What?
Okay. So where would you like to add that bill?
Oh, I guess the last item under tax records, I guess local and national.
The last item on the W-2 statement?
Right under that, yes.
What are you adding?
Property tax.
Local tax records. We'll just say local tax records.
Local
I don't
tax
records.
Made, yeah.
Some other local jurisdictions might have something else, but.
What, shouldn't we say state and local?
Oh, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Because don't we have certain requirements in the five states in which our stations are located?
We don't have a state.
Okay. So state and local.
That's a subject.
Don't get me started.
District.
That's a subject.
Okay. So we're saying those should be, that would be a seven-year item. I guess, to be consistent, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we get some input on that? I mean, maybe it should be permanent. I mean, do we know?
Well, let's see. Payroll registers are permanent. Maybe tomorrow I could check with the IRS. To see what their standard is.
Well, they won't know about local or state.
But they,
I mean,
Tony might.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to check with Tony. Okay.
Yeah, I think that the gold standard, at least for individuals, is 10 years, because that's as far back as they can sue you. You know, call you in for an audit.
So maybe, who said permanent? Was it Chandra who said permanent? Who said permanent?
This is Jane. I thought it was more like permanent than.
Maybe
but
permanent.
I don't know.
Okay. And then the level obviously would be local, right? So this would be L. And the location.
Well, I think it ought to be national and local so that, you know, we
yeah.
have a, you know, a broad view of this.
Okay. So that would be CFO and business manager, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm still, you know, I'll go back to this after. Somehow the location and the stored, there's just a little question in my mind, but we could always go back to that. All righty. Who was reading? Lisa?
Lisa, yeah, I was reading. Okay.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Personnel records. Employment offer letters, permanent. National and local. Oh, National Human Resources Director. Okay, NHR and General Manager. So NHR stands for the National Human Resources Director, correct, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Confirmation of employment letters, permanent. In the national and local level, and NHR and general manager. Benefits descriptions per employee, permanent, national and local, national human resources director and general manager. Pension records, permanent, national and local, national human resources director. Okay. Employee applications and resumes. 7 years after termination, national and local, National Human Resources Director and General Manager, promotions, demotions, letters of reprimand and termination, 7 years after termination, national and local, NHR and GM, job descriptions, performance goals, 7 years after termination, national and local, NHR and General Manager, workers' compensation records, 5 years, national and local level, NHR and GM, salary ranges per job description, 5 years NNL, and National Human Resources Director and GM, I-9 forms, is that it? Okay. 5 years after termination, national and local, NHR and General Manager, time reports. 3 years after termination, national and local, CFO and general manager.
Okay.
I'd like to comment, so put me on the stack, on this.
Okay, Chandra, you were first on the stack, and I need a point of personal privilege. It's a real point of personal privilege. So, Campbell, could you assume the chair, please?
Sure.
Okay.
Chandra?
Okay. I don't see anything here about personnel policies. We're supposed to have personnel policy records and all kinds of forms that staff are supposed to sign. And when this becomes pertinent is, for example, policies on sexual harassment, policies on discrimination, EEO policies. There are all kinds of policy personnel and procedures that staff are supposed to sign. And the reason why it's important to keep these is, first of all, when there's lawsuits, you need proof that employees have received these documents and that they've signed them. And secondly, they should be on file to indicate that these forms have been provided and that employees have completed them.
Okay.
And we don't have anything like that because we don't have uniform personnel policies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really critical. And this is where, something like the audit committee would overlap with, for example, the personnel committee to ensure that these forms are made available and distributed and signed and kept timely.
Okay. I think
Campbell, I'm back.
We just had an addition.
Okay, go ahead.
Chandra's just giving an addition that personnel policies and executed forms related to those policies should be kept as well. And I think that's absolutely a very good observation that she made, and I think something that should be added on here. Additionally, I would add that confidentiality statements and the executed executed confidentiality statements should be maintained as well. And that would include LSBs.
And also performance evaluations.
Okay. Just one second, folks. I'm back from my personal personal privilege. So let's deal with them one at a time. So personnel policies, that will come policies and procedures, correct? That would come under personnel records.
Yes.
And those should be retained for how long are we recommending?
Well, the thing is, however long a lawsuit is, could be filed. So, for example, let's say the agency is sued over an employee's performance, and whatever the time limit is on being able to file that lawsuit, you know, whatever the statute of limitations is, that's how long these forms should be kept in case they have to be referenced.
A point of information?
Okay. Go ahead, Lisa. I was just thinking about what Chandra just said, trying to jog my memory.
And the problem is we don't have uniform personnel policies, and it's something that we need to have. So I was suggesting that this should be coordinated with the personnel committee. And I would also suggest performance evaluation should be kept on file as well.
Okay.
And this also could relate to any legal actions against the foundation or against a particular employee.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Lisa.
What particular item were we talking about? Because I know I heard our policies and procedures, and then I heard.
Right. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to take one item at a time.
Okay.
So the personnel policies and procedures. How about if I check with the human resources director to see what that recommendation should be? Is that okay with the body?
Yes. One thing, though, I would add, Nia, is this, that we want to have the executed forms that people add. We need to have the, policies and procedures that are in place when, you know, person X was hired or person Y was hired. But also we want to have the executed forms that they signed indicating that they're aware of, say, sexual harassment procedures or, you know, whistleblower or whatever, you know, kinds of things like that. The executed forms that, that would be in the individual's personnel record.
This is
okay.
Jane.
So just 1 second, Jane. So maybe that could be put into the fifth item from the top, employee applications, resumes. Maybe we could put that in that category?
I was going to suggest we add it immediately following it, since it's...
promotions, demotions?
No. I mean, just go ahead and I think my recommendation was you insert a new line after employee applications and resumes, and this would be executed/signed policy and procedure documents, because they are closely related. When you fill out your application and you're offered the job and you do sign these forms, but I think it's a good idea for us to go ahead and have a separate line item for it, because it's obviously something that we have not had in the past, and it's, you know, so
it's gotten us in trouble.
And I think that's a logical place for it.
Okay, so that will be employee executed, signed, and what documents, Jane?
Employee, well, I just had executed, and then in parentheses, meaning signed, executed, signed, policy and procedure documents.
Okay. If you do it like that, then that's what I'm saying, to just put it in that on that same line. But if you're just going to put...
Right. We could do it that way. I think it's a good idea to have it separate, since it's something that we don't have yet. I think it's better. I think it stands out more that way.
Okay. So,
that's my
it would be employee...
So this would be after 61, right?
Right. Employee executed, signed, and
policy and procedure documents. Executed policy and procedure documents. I think just saying execute, just signed or executed, one of those, just one of those is okay, right? We don't have to say executed policy and procedure documents.
I like signed, I think.
You like having the word signed?
Yeah, if that's going to be part of the thing, that they should sign it, because that way you want to see what they thought.
Okay.
And I had another item, so I wanted...
Okay. Just 1 second, Chandra. Let me make sure I have it, because employee executed, signed. Employee executed, signed. Policies and procedures doc, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate line. I don't know what number line that is. I'm looking at a large
after 61.
Right. And like I said, I need eye surgery, which I didn't have done. I really can't see here. Okay, Chandra, you had another item?
Yeah, I want to add to 61. So it would be job descriptions, performance goals, comma, performance evaluations.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that was a good spot for it.
Lisa, for the staff.
Okay. Those were your three, Chandra?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, job descriptions and performance goals are already there.
Yeah,
I was suggesting inserting
performance
after.
Performance evaluations.
Yeah, that would go after goals.
Yeah, I have that.
Okay.
Okay. Bill?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Very good, folks. As usual, very good. Bill?
Okay, well, actually, I was going to add, yeah, the personnel evaluation, that's good. I'm glad Chandra got that. Also, somebody mentioned confidentiality
agreements.
And even though they're not personnel, I think we should keep signed copies of the board confidentiality ones, because otherwise they're going to be in somebody's desk drawer at home, and it might be hard to find them later if we need them. So maybe the LSP secretaries will keep them, but I think they also ought to be kept at the national office.
Is that part of corporate records? Should that be added? I apologize.
Can it be on the stack?
Okay, Melinda, you come after Lisa, yeah? Bill, I
would
just ask, is it okay to go in corporate records?
Yeah, that'd be okay. I'm not sure where to go and put on. Just they need to be somewhere.
And I think I need to clarify which confidentiality. The only, well, board members, and I know, for example, here in New York, we have certain, for example, the management search committees, you can have non-LSB listener members on that committee. So there are confidentiality agreements there. So that would be national and local. One second. NNL. And then they would be stored. Let's see. With the ED, I guess. And what about the local ones?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I think they
ought to create extra work for people, but it's I don't know.
I think they should all go to national.
Probably, I think that's adequate.
Yeah. So to the ED.
Okay, and then the ED can, yeah, if the ED wants to give it to the HR
sure.
or some other person, they could do
but
that.
But he or she may delegate to whosoever he or she wants
right.
to. Okay. The next person on the stack is Lisa and then Melinda.
Okay, one is just a question for my own personal knowledge, because I know with like things like letters of reprimand and all of that, there's such strict rules in terms of who can see it. So the general manager can have access to that?
Well, if it's locally, where is that now? Letters of reprimand. Yeah, if it's locally, you have local staff. The GM should have
local
it.
You have local HR people, but I just didn't
right.
know.
Right, there is no local HR person. Right.
Right. I didn't know if that was something. I was just wondering about that because I. You know, I don't know a lot about, labor laws and personnel issues and stuff, but I was just wondering about that one. And just something I was thinking about as people were talking, I don't know if this is necessarily something for the audit committee, but as you know, the LSBs, we do a lot of things and all of that. Should there be a place locally where things that we do are kept? Because as we know, the LSBs are constantly changing. We don't have an office for the local station board, so I didn't know if that was maybe important to also say that the records of the LSB and all that and minutes, that they should also be kept in some physical place as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Is there any particular thing you had in mind, Lisa?
No, I was just wondering, like, you know, we've passed so many motions and there's minutes and all of that, but there's not really a physical place. A lot of it exists in cyberspace, but I didn't know if there needed to be, like, a physical location for the documents, you know, and the things that the board does. That's all.
Well, the bylaws say that the all of these should go to the national office.
This is Jane. Can I get on the stack?
The next, Lisa, according to the bylaws, they're supposed to go there. As the minutes and audio archives of board and committee meetings, local and national, they're permanent, and that's with the ED and the CFO. So the bylaws take care of that for us. That made it easy.
I'm sorry, that would come up under
the
board.
On the personnel?
Would that come under board policies and board resolutions then? Would that all
Well, you said that I have it on the corporate records.
Right, okay.
Minutes and audio archives, yeah.
Could you state that again, Lisa, please?
I was just asking, when she had board policies and board resolutions, I was thinking more about the national office. I mean, not the national office, the national board.
Yeah,
and so
but
this
also
had to
you
do
have
the,
LSB.
Right, but Nia was saying that the bylaws say that even with the local station boards, that would go to the national office.
Yes,
correct?
That's what the bylaws say.
Right, and so just maybe with the board and policies and board resolutions, I mean, sometimes you can never be too specific because somebody else could be looking at this a year from now and, you know, not quite understand what you mean. So maybe we should just say including local station boards or something like that under the board policies.
So board policies and board resolutions?
Yeah, maybe just in parentheses including local.
Local and national? How about if I put a parenthesis local and national?
Yeah, that'll be work. You know, people, I have to step away a moment. I'm not sure if I'll be able to be back on the call, but I have to step away. So I'm.
You need to come back to vote on this, Lisa.
We have to vote.
The thing.
Sorry, Mr. Secretary. Mr. Secretary. What did you want to know, Mr. Secretary?
I have to run away a moment. I'll be back. Okay.
Okay.
What I was just going to mention is that they're covered under item 18, and since the LSB is a committee of the national board, that would be understood. However, I think it's worthwhile separating out LSBs.
What's number 18, Campbell? I'm looking at a hard
minutes,
a hard,
minutes
large
and audio archives of board and committee meetings, parenthesis, local and national.
Okay. I thought I had that someplace, but like I said, I can't see. Okay.
Could you add me to the stack? This is Sean.
Okay. All right. So let me take that out. That's already there. I thought I had it. But the next person on the stack is Melinda, who's been patiently waiting. Go ahead, Melinda.
Okay. My background, basically what I do is HR. And I'm very concerned with this when you're talking about the reviews, because okay, that have all kinds of serious hot potatoes in it, you know, like illnesses, maybe alcoholism and that sort of thing. I would want to be sure that there would be some kind of a chain of command and security behind that to keep this from becoming public knowledge.
Yes, you raised that. And when, in terms of Ricardo, that is a human resources thing, and they should be controlling that in terms of...
oh, yeah, definitely.
Giving out information. So we're just
because
talking
they would,
about that.
Oh, as to, you know, the safeguards.
Yeah, they because there are policies for human resources that they should be abiding by. We're just talking about the detention periods, okay?
And I have a lot of faith in Ricardo. I had the privilege of talking with him when he was in Houston, and we talked about different aspects. He seems really on the ball.
Right. Okay. The next person,
Madam Chair,
Bill.
We're just about out of time. It's been almost an hour in about 30 seconds. Just to let you know.
Okay, well, we're going to complete this. We're not out of time for the meeting, though.
Can I move to extend time?
No, just for this item.
Right.
Do I have to make a motion to extend time for this item?
Yeah. Chandra, could you make it so
yeah,
until completion and approval of the documents, please?
Excuse me?
Could you please make the motion for until completion and approval of this document?
So moved.
Is there any objection?
I object. I don't think we can get through it tonight.
Okay. Let's take it to a vote, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. Just a moment, please. Get back to the listing here.
Can I make one more comment while he's getting it?
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let me know when you're ready, Campbell.
I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead. So all in favor of extending until this document is completed and approved? That's the motion.
Any discussion?
A motion to extend time? No. Let's just go straight to the vote, because we could be using the time to do some work, please. Campbell, call the roll, please.
Okay. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Okay. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
All right. Lisa Davis? I'll hold her. Jane Gatewood?
No.
Okay. Seth Goldberg? Matthew Hallinan? Chandra Hauptmann?
So a motion, a vote of yes is which, in which to...
It's to extend time.
Yes.
It's to extend time until we finish and approve the motion. That's what she's asking for a vote on. I mean, to finish and approve this document. I don't mind...
Jane,
Melinda.
Jane, you had your chance to.
Am I correct? Is that what we're voting on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Melinda?
Yes.
Did Shonda know what she was voting for?
I'm sure she did. Campbell Johnson, yes. Dutch Merrick? Leslie Radford? Joe Wamsala? Donna Warren?
No.
No. Nia Turner?
Yes.
Okay. Nia Bediako?
Yes.
Okay. And our count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes, and I have 2 no.
Okay. So that's 2/3.
Pass.
Okay.
So okay, what
I'd like to get on the staffing.
I'm sorry, I need clarification. I should have asked for it before we voted, but we're extending time to finish this discussion, correct?
Yes. And to approve with the amendments.
And the amendment is?
All those things that you guys suggested?
Okay, but what if there's more things? Like I had something else to add.
Oh, so you're next on the stack.
Oh, okay.
I think you were, who was speaking now? Was it you, Chandra?
No.
This is Jane. I was asking to be on the stack for a long time, but I don't know where I am on the stack.
Okay. All right.
Another wasn't me, Bill.
Okay.
Okay. Who? Okay, Jane. I'll take a stack. Who'd like to be on the stack? Jane?
Yes.
And who else? Okay, Jane, go ahead.
I think that we need to keep talking about this for a fixed amount of time, and we need to say what needs to come next. But, I mean, there's going to be some questions. I think we should just finish the conversation and get it as far as we can, and then identify what else, you know, what the remaining questions are. We can't approve a document when we have outstanding questions.
Who's next on the stack? Okay. Who was reading? I think Lisa was reading.
Maybe it's Chandra, since, you know, I had a comment.
Okay.
Okay. We're at personnel records. So I think Lisa read the personnel records, and we added items to the personnel records. So
I had another item to add.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, it comes under corporate records. We have annual corporate filings. Does that clarify that it's federal and state? Or maybe that should be in parentheses.
I would think that the ED and CFO, they should know. For me, it's understood. You think you want to spell it out?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it could hurt.
Okay.
Would you spell it out then, please?
So just annual corporate filings in parentheses, federal and state. As required or as mandated.
So for your minutes, it's federal and state. Okey-dokey. For insurance records, I think we're going around. Campbell, can you read and take minutes at the same time?
Sure.
Are you double jointed?
I'll try. Okay, insurance record, property insurance policy, permanent record, located national and local, and the responsible parties are the ED, CFO, and GM. Directors and officers insurance policy, permanent record, located in national, ED, and CFO responsible. Workers' compensation insurance policies, permanent record, national and local, ED, CFO, and GM for responsibility. General liability insurance policy, permanent record, national and local. Responsibility is ED, CFO, and GM. Insurance claims applications, permanent record, national, and the responsibility is ED, CFO, and national human resources director. Insurance disbursements or denials, permanent record, national responsibility is by the ED, CFO, and national human resources director. Do you want to go into contracts?
No, that's what we've been doing. Anybody have any comments?
No.
I forgot to put myself on the stack.
reading. I think I would like to change column C to responsibility. I think that's an even more appropriate word. So B would be location and C responsibility.
You mean
how about
B,
that?
B would be responsibility, right?
I'm sorry?
C is location, then, and D is responsibility.
A, B, C. I only have three columns.
Okay, A so I have is the listing of the items themselves.
That's the retention.
Period.
Okay. Sorry.
B
I'm
is,
looking at a hard copy. That's why. So,
okay.
Okay. So wherever that last column, it sounds like most people are saying responsibility. So could I just get unanimous consent to label that one responsibility?
Sure.
Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing none, that's what that would be.
Is that column D?
Not consistent with what you guys...
Jane, you have to wait to be recognized. In terms... That's why I said earlier.
I'm sorry. I worded that wrong. I'm sorry, Chair. You asked, does anybody object? And I was trying to say, yes, I object. I'm sorry. I used the wrong words.
In terms of, we started out with stored, and then we said we put location, but in speaking and from hearing people, that's why I said earlier, I think responsibility might be a better description for that
mm-hmm.
column.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I make a friendly amendment?
Go ahead, Chandra.
Responsible parties.
That's fine.
I need your comment.
You have the floor, Jane?
Okay. We're talking about where... Okay, so the responsible parties, but you've been talking about, throughout this conversation, you've been talking about where the documents are to be held. You've actually been talking about that's what you've been talking about, is where should they be held. So if it's who's responsible, it's going to influence the, you know, in one way, but what you've been talking about so far is actually where these documents are stored. And since the policy is talking about the storage of documents, it does make sense that somewhere in here we would be talking about where the documents would be stored. So I think that storage location is a logical part of this document, but it can't mean both. I mean, if it means one or the other.
The only problem with that, if you have, for example, this organization has been in existence for, well, some locations. For example, ours is what, some going on 60 years. To have 60 years worth of documents in somebody's office, that's a lot of stuff to be stored. I know in the business world, they will go to Iron Mountain or something. And that's why I'm thinking that, for example, you know, my organization is Iron Mountain. So that's why I think responsible, the responsible party, as Chandra said, I like that phraseology. It's better.
So
and then the person responsible for this, you know, if the office is being consumed by paper, then he or she will know that it's to be stored in Iron Mountain or some fireproof location.
So then would the national or the local, would that help understand where the documents are to be stored? In other words, should that previous column be talking about the storage location? Is that a national office? It's in the local offices?
That's what it's there for, I
think. Yeah, right. And that it's in the national office, and then within the national office, the responsible party will decide, do I have enough cabinet space or do I need to take these items to Iron Mountain? Okay. Can we, does anybody else have any questions about this? Or can we, do we need to vote to say whether we would like to change this or not to, to responsible parties, the charter's language? I didn't hear.
Without objection.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. We're at, Campbell's, yours was short. Would you like to do contracts?
Sure. All insurance contracts, permanent documents located in the national office, and the responsible parties are the ED, CFO, and National Human Resources Director. Employee contracts, permanent documents, national and local office, ED, there's a typo, and general manager and National Human Resources Director. Construction contracts, permanent documents, national and local, ED, CFO, and GM. Legal correspondence, permanent documents, national and local, responsibilities of the ED. Loan or mortgage contracts, permanent documents, national and local, ED, CFO, and GM are responsible parties. Leases or deeds, permanent documents, national and local locations, and the responsible parties are the ED, CFO, and GM. Vendor contracts, 7 years, national and local, responsible parties are ED, CFO, GM, and business manager. Warranties, 7 years, national and local, responsible parties are CFO and business managers. Should I go on to donations, or would you like to see if any?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you. ED, I wrote ED. I apologize for that. Any comments there, folks?
Bill?
I'm back on the call, Madam Chair.
Okay. Okay, Lisa. So you can finish up the other two. Bill? Go ahead, Bill.
The vendor contracts and warranties, I'm not sure they need a fixed time period because it depends on the length of the contract and of the warranty. Or is this so many years after the completion of the contract or the warranty?
Right.
Not sure what.
Let's see. That's a good question.
I think that amplification is that it would be 7 years.
I didn't hear it. Campbell, what are you saying, Campbell?
Madam Chair, I was saying that I think that would be a good amplification to say 7 years following termination of the...
Of the contract.
Yes, contract or warranty.
So 7 years after termination... Okay. Is that satisfactory, Bill, after termination?
Yeah, I assume you run all this by Ricardo.
Yes,
I'm not sure we need to keep it that long, but at least we need to keep it after the or until the end of the warranty and contract.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, that's fine.
After termination. All righty. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, Lisa, you do donations.
Okay.
That's fundamental.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. I'm trying to find my place. So doing donations / funder records, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Grant dispersal contract.
I'm on a conference call.
Lisa?
Yes?
I didn't hear you clearly. Could you please repeat?
Oh, I'm sorry. Grant applications. Whenever I think about grants, I always think of the financial aspect of the grant possibly getting one. Would the CFO or the BM, would they get a copy of that? Or should they?
a grant application, you want to add, I guess when the financial part comes in, that's when the CFO gets involved. But if people think we should add the CFO, that's fine. I don't have an issue. Do people think we should add the CFO? If it's just the application, though, right?
One of the things that I was sort of thinking of, and maybe like the CFO could keep it because it just might be good, I don't know, good record for when we apply for applications and going forward and stuff like that. I just, you know, I know in the, you know, some CFOs think about various fundraisers or ways to get funds, so I just might be information that they might want to have in terms of the various grants that are out there and who applied for them and stuff.
Okay, so is there any objection to adding CFO to grant application? Is there any objection?
Hey, Moby.
Okay, hearing none.
Moby, come here. Get in
there. Alrighty, okay. Lisa, go into management plans and procedures.
Okay, management plans and procedures, strategic plans, 7 years, national and local, ED, CFO, and general manager, staffing, including organizational charts, programs, marketing, finance, fundraising, and evaluation plans, 7 years, national and local, ED and GM, vendor contracts, 7 years, national and local, ED, CFO, GM, and BM, and disaster recovery plan.
You don't have to
7 years,
that.
In and out, ED, and GM.
Okay. Is there any questions? I feel so bad for Melinda. Melinda was face, her voice kept breaking up there. Are you still on, Melinda?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Okay, dear. Anything anyone would like to add? Okay, so that's all good. Okay, Lisa, you want to just anchor this thing? Go to document protection and just finish reading it, please.
No problem. Document protection. Documents, including hard copies, electronic or other media, will be stored in a protected environment for the duration of the document retention period. Computer backup media will be included. Okay. Document destruction. After the end of the document retention period, hard copies of documents will be destroyed by shredding, and electronic copies will be destroyed by fire or other mechanisms proven capable of destroying such media. And then provision of documentation for investigations or litigation. Document requests and subpoenas shall be immediately referred to the ED, who will consult with the Foundation Council regarding compliance.
Okay. Any questions on this final light here?
Lisa for the staff.
Okay. I heard Bill and I heard Lisa. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, line 103, there was an error in cell A103. It's just a reference to itself.
Okay.
And
Bill, please give me the... I'm looking at a hard copy.
Okay,
cell
A103, it's two lines after disaster recovery plan. It might just look like a blank line in your printout. I don't know.
Okay. Wait a second.
It just needs to be deleted.
Where is it?
Well, it's cell A103. It's two lines after disaster recovery plan, which is the last thing under management plans and procedures.
Okay.
And then also, I'd add a... Beg your pardon?
What are you saying that you're seeing there, Bill? Because I'm looking at a hard copy. What are you seeing
on
there?
Well, the contents of the cell are equals A103, and that's in cell A103. So it gives me an error when I'm looking at it on my computer screen.
Right.
It's probably just somebody copied something wrong.
Looks like they tried to add an equation in there or something.
Yeah.
Okay, because so, my hard copy shows nothing, so
yeah.
I have to look at the...
And then also, I would add a footnote just to define all those abbreviations, just in case somebody comes along later and wants to know what BM is or NHR or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, somebody asked that.
Okay.
Yeah, you have national and local already defined up at the top, but not the things under column D.
So that's easy. The things that I need to check with Ricardo are, let's see. Personnel policies. Under personnel records, I need to check with the human resources director on the personnel policies and procedures. I think that was Chandra, that was one. How long that should be retained.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell?
One thing under management plans and procedures. When we had talked before, one thing that I was, in addition to the organization chart, I was thinking that each state could have...
Excuse me, Campbell. Is anybody hearing a background noise or a
yes.
Echo?
I'm not hearing anything.
I hear somebody talking in the background. It sounds like...
Yes, I'm going
to... Town meeting.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo in the background, too.
And this is the first time we've had these problems, but it's okay.
I think there's a storm somewhere.
Okay,
we'll work through it. Okay. Campbell, finish
yes.
Basically what you were saying?
The addition would be accomplishment, and I would put parenthesis for each station only, but copy to national office. In other words, you would get them for WBAI, and this would be something that you could use, you know, on a continuing basis for, you know, fundraising with foundations and whatnot like that.
When you say accomplishments, you say under management plans and procedures to
right.
Put...
You have strategic plans, you update the strategic plans when you're doing these kinds of things. You say, well, okay, we did well, we didn't do too well, and you can, you know, list these things there. I don't see another place where this would very comfortably fit. So,
you want to put strategic plans in?
Well, strategic plans are in there already.
And their accomplishments?
No, I'm saying that this would be a separate category. Some of it may come from strategic plans. Some of it may come from things that weren't part of the strategic planning, but they would be the kinds of things that you would want to share with prospective funders so that, you know, they can see that you're able to lead tall buildings with a single bound.
Okay, but those accomplishments will be reflected in the 990. We're not going to create a policy for accomplishments.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just, unless other members understand better than I, but I'm just not understanding.
Well, 990 is done on a national level, but there are certain things that can be accomplished on the local level. That
right.
I think would, you know, would not be part of the 990.
But what I'm saying, it's strictly democratic as we've always done. If the body feels that we need to add a category for accomplishments for retention, I don't see how that's in order. Let me ask other people. Do people think that's in order? What? Hello?
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but I don't think it needs to be in this policy.
We'll pass that to the other ones we sent out.
Okay. All righty.
Pepper!
Okay, this is Donna. I'm sorry to speak out of order, but I'm signing off now.
Okay. Thanks, Donna.
Madam Chair, we can put this back. again.
Okay, go ahead, Lisa.
I know we talked about this briefly before, and I don't necessarily know if this outcome. Hello?
Yes, I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take off. It's Melinda.
Yeah, okay. Melinda, can you hang in for a few moments?
Okay, just a few more minutes I can do that, but I'm afraid I've got to get to bed. I got to get up early.
Yeah, I know. Normally we're done, we're off. We're like 9 minutes over our time, which is the first time all year.
This is Jane. I'm sorry. I'm signing off. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Nia? Who's that, Nia?
That was Jane who signed off.
Okay. Okay, Lisa, go ahead.
I know we talked about this briefly before, but when I see about documents, hard copies, electronic or other media, that brings up the issue with emails and electronically, because like I said, I know there have been times that I've seen some people who were working for the foundation appear to use like a Yahoo email or something like that. And I don't remember exactly what Nicole said about this, and I don't know if this would even be something for this particular policy, but I do think that Pacifica needs to maybe begin to think about emails and how they're used, so that even, you know, we know we have listservs and stuff like that that Pacifica committees use, and goodness knows, if something ever comes up down the way or whatever, Pacifica would want to be able to access those emails. And so I just think there needs to be more discussion and, you know, and more thought process about the emails. But I don't know if that would come even from this committee or whatever, but especially when they say documentation of electronic copies of stuff is important as well, or backups of things electronically.
Okay. Does anyone think that we should incorporate this here now in this retention and destruction policy?
Well, I think it's if you don't have real control over these things, and if it's not, you know, recorded and established, then you know, someone comes and asks for it. Oh yeah, we had a listserv for that. I remember about 5 years ago, and you know, no one's got any institutional memory, and it's gone.
I asked Melinda to say, but this looks like this is going to go on. So, Melinda, if you'd like to go to bed, you can. Thank you so much.
May I maybe make this suggestion?
Okay.
Because I think, first of all, I don't think that there is a policy for sending emails within Pacifica. So it seems to me like there needs to be that, or the national board, and maybe even the Pacifica Council gets involved in this anyway, but that there needs to be some kind of a discussion about this, either with the executive director to have a policy with email. So I don't know if this is something that this committee could talk about tonight. Maybe this is something, another one of those things to ask about.
Well, we can mention that to her about coming up with an email policy. Then once that comes up, then we see how long that information should be retained. But if there is none,
exactly, that's my point.
Email, what does everybody else think?
I'm sorry, this is Chandra. I'd like to be on the staff.
Okay, Chandra, you're recognized.
Okay, how do we control that? I mean, emails go out in cyberspace. Anybody has access to them. How could we possibly control that?
May I speak to this point a moment, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I know in corporations, I don't know enough technically to know about how this would really work, but I think they own, like, their listserv. And if you notice, like, with a lot of corporations, you will see, like, at RAD.com, you know, the name of the person, and at that, and that basically means that they have some control over that, because it goes out, I think, with their listservs and all of that. So if they have an employee that for some reason gets fired for doing something they should not be doing, or just, you never know how this could come into play, but the company can at least say, you know what, we need to go back and look and review these emails, and we need to have a record of them. So it would have something to do with somehow how their servers or their listservs or whatever is set up, and I don't understand enough technically, but that would be the kind of way that would mean. Because I remembered a while ago that when you know, the internet and everything first began to become popular and businesses began to use it, there was issues about who owned the email that people would send out from their workplaces. And I think that's at some point the court and all of that got into. But it's pretty much understood now that, okay, if you work for this company and any email that you send out under that company address, the company basically owns that, and that they would have some kind of record of it. So I mean, in that sense.
Well, actually,
okay.
Can I?
Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay, Lisa raises a very important point, and you know how sometimes you get emails from people and it says, this is, you know, about the confidentiality of the email on the bottom and the company not being responsible for an email being sent out, you know, that doesn't relate to that company's business or whatever. Maybe we should have something like that drafted up and affixed to any email that goes out on a listserv. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to get to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's clear. But the point is, until that gets drafted up, then we remember, this policy, we can add to the policy later.
Right.
But I think the PMB's meeting in person, this is the kind of thing that should be discussed in the in-person
exactly.
meeting. That's why I want approval of it so I could take it to the in-person meeting. So the thing that I have to check with here, I have to check with Tony on the local tax records, local state and local tax records, to check with Tony to see what the retention period should be. And the other thing is the personnel policy and procedures, to ask the human resources director how long, in his opinion, it should be retained for, and that's what we have. And if you guys would like, you know, I could update that. But just to get an approval to amend it, to approve it as amended, to present it to the Pacifica National Board
so
at the in-person meeting.
Well, would
I didn't hear that.
I said so moved.
Oh, okay.
Can I comment on the motion?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, getting back to Lisa's point, maybe no one has thought about this, and I think Lisa's point is really valid. And maybe it should be part of the report that's submitted to the National Board that this issue needs to be explored, and Corporate Counsel has to come up with some kind of language that should be affixed to emails that go out on lists.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, may I add one other point, please? And I won't belabor this. But in addition to that, there's also the issue in terms of, you know, the servers and stuff, because let's say for whatever reason somebody, they suddenly no longer are working here, and the company wants to be able to know what they sent out and all of that kind of stuff. So there is that issue in terms of what should go on the bottom of the email, but there's also the issue of the service. And people on the technical committee, or somebody like John Almel or whatever, could probably explain this better than I can. So but that's one of the other considerations when we're thinking about emails that people are using to conduct any kind of Pacifica business.
Bill for the stack.
Okay, Bill? Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I think what Donna was suggesting about adding something to emails, I don't really think that falls under what we're talking about here, because it's not required by Sarbanes-Oxley. But it might be a good question to ask Ricardo. You know, if somebody's sending something out from the Pacifica, one of the Pacifica mail servers, should something be added? I don't know if it should or not, but that would be, I don't think it's necessarily an audit requirement or Sarbanes-Oxley, but it'd be a good thing to ask. But I suggest that, you know, I don't have an objection to sending this to the PNB. I'm not sure, frankly, they actually need to approve it. I'm not sure do we have to approve all policies or not? I don't know. But it would be good to let them know. But I think Ricardo should review, and Tony should review, all the changes we've made to this before it's finally approved.
point of information? Tony is?
Tony Pohl, our auditor.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
It's way past my day.
But we can go ahead and approve it. The committee could approve it, you know, subject to that, so if that would help speed things along.
Okay.
The PNB, if there's any approval, it'll have to be done by the PNB anyway, I guess.
Exactly. And they could chop it, slice it, dice it, whatever.
Exactly.
So let me just make sure I'm clear here. Someone, could you please move that?
I move it.
Moving approval as amended, or what was the...
Yes.
That was what was on the table.
Yes.
Okay, approving the policy as amended.
Right.
Okay.
And for some reason, my phone isn't charging. Oh, my God. I don't know what's going on here. And my battery's about to die.
I need to get off the phone now, too, Madam Chair.
Okay, so let's take the vote, then.
Oh, you have to vote? Okay.
Campbell, let me, is there any objection to approving this? Okay. So it's unanimous, and I will do this, and I'll send it out. I also have to write the report for the committee, so I will incorporate this and send it all out to you folks, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And we are adjourning. Take it at 10:52.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, next committee meeting date.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the calendar, let me look on the online calendar. Where is it? It's October 25th, the last Monday.
Last Monday. Okay. I don't think we should. That will give Campbell and me time to get all the minutes together, and that will be. I know I keep saying this, but Campbell, we have to make sure that we have all the minutes ready.
Uh-huh.
For folks, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks everybody. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thanks for your cooperation.
Okay.
And you have a great night.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.